Hi, I'm Paul Prydecker with Attitude Adjustment, and my co-host Mike. We've had a good morning so far.
We have.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier that we all have our stories, you know. But our next guest, she has a story to tell because she's an author. And tell us about it, Mike.
Our guest now is Kim Sheeter, who is both an author and an aviation instructor. We're talking about the part of her life that sort of came into view just this past May when her novel titled Air Minded hit the bookshelves. Kim, welcome to Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be in the hangar. I have to make one small adjustment.
Please.
Or I can't show my face at Embry-Riddle where I work. I am not an instructor.
Okay.
I tend to vomit in airplanes, so I do not have the right stuff to be an instructor. I'm just a pilot admirer, let's say.
Understand. I'm kind of right there with you. So, Kim, this novel that you've written, Air Minded, I've read that it is a braided historical novel. Talk about what that means and who you've written about here.
Well, I intended to write a very straightforward biography of John Paul Riddle, who was the founder of the university. And I understood almost immediately that I had to do a lot of contextual research because for us, getting on a plane is about as exciting as getting on a bus. I mean, we forget that it was a miracle. And I wanted to sort of bring back that feeling. So I started looking up a lot of sort of the surrounding cultural history. And one of the questions I asked myself is, well, who was the first hijacker? And that's how I met Ernest Pletsch, a name not quite as well known. And I found that he was as obsessed with flight as Riddle was, but took it in a very destructive direction, even though they were sort of marinating in the same popular culture. And I decided to tell both stories together.
And combining those stories from the different perspectives, that's what the braid means, right? As you've
yes.
kind of threaded those together. Okay.
Yes.
So what's the time period that you're writing from when to when?
Well, the university's celebrating its centennial, so they date its DNA to the flight school that John Paul Riddle co-founded in 1926.
Okay.
But the two crimes that I focus on that Ernest Pletsch committed were both within a span of about 4 months in 1939. But it does span from the 20s up to about 1990.
And, okay. And Kim, did you know what you were going to discover when you started on this mission, or did this become a surprise to you?
It was a shock. I thought, I can knock this out in a year. 6 years later, I didn't even know how much I had to learn and how many surprises would pop up along the way.
Is the novel considered, if you had to put it into the broad categories, is it considered historical fiction or is it considered history?
It started out as narrative nonfiction, and then when I realized that I had about 200 footnotes, I realized that people probably didn't want me to be quite as granular as I was trying to be. There were places where I certainly knew in broad strokes what had happened, but I certainly wasn't in the room. So I decided for safety's sake, I would say this is historical fiction, although it is very, very rooted in research.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about Ernest Pletsch for a minute. Not that we need to give the bad guy all the publicity, but wow, was he an awful character?
He was. In a sort of understandable way, he was born in 1910. There was a little airfield near his home farm in Indiana. And he very quickly decided that he didn't want to be the guy in overalls with manure on his boots. He wanted to be the dashing aviator with the goggles and the helmet and maybe the white silk scarf.
Was he missing something in all that? Like a moral core?
I think that he, for whatever reason, believed that he was one of those generational talents that had God-given ability, and that is one of the things that made him feel entitled to steal airplanes. Why should he have to pay for
airplanes,
them?
Airplanes, plural?
Plural. In
okay.
Both of his crime scenes were beautiful, almost factory-fresh Piper J3 Cub trainers. So he was brand loyal, if nothing else.
Goodness.
So are we going to give away the spoiler here about what it was that Ernest Pletsch was most famous for?
He's probably most famous as being considered America's first hijacker.
Okay.
And he killed his flight instructor at 5,000 feet above Missouri.
So he may have been the first mid-air murderer as well, right?
Yes, he wasn't the first person to kill someone in an airplane. There were a couple of earlier cases, but those were considered self-defense when someone had attacked a pilot and tried to bring a plane down.
I see.
So there were never legal, you know, situations around that. They were considered self-defense cases. But yes, he was considered the first mid-air murderer. But he had another nickname before mid-air murderer, which I think was really problematic. About 4 months before he committed the murder, he stole a Piper and went on a joyride throughout the Midwest and ended up in Illinois and took some people. You know, he was basically barnstorming, although it was long past the real barnstorming era, but you could still find farmers that would pay to see their property from on high. And he took a couple up, and they really loved the experience, and they tried to talk their teenage daughter into going up, and she didn't want to. But they did invite him to dinner. He could be very charismatic. He was also a pathological liar. And he entertained them with stories of his exploits in World War I. If they had done the math, they would have known it was unlikely that he was an ace at the age of 8. But, you know, they enjoyed the storytelling anyway. He persuaded, with this girl's parents' encouragement, to take her up for a ride, and she wasn't seen for 5 days.
Oh, boy.
And nobody died. He did release her. But the shocking thing to me is that the press treated this as some grand romantic escapade. Very few of the headlines were "Man Abducts High School Student." They were, they called him Lochinvar, Flying Lochinvar. And that doesn't mean much to us today, but if you read the poetry of Sir Walter Scott, which people did in that era, Lochinvar was the romantic hero in a poem. He was a knight who went to the marriage banquet of his lady love and swept her off the dance floor onto his horse, and they disappeared together. So he was certainly framed as a romantic hero. And I think what was a bigger problem is the press really didn't do its homework very well. And they could have pointed out other things, like this man had been in the reformatory, he had two ex-wives and a young child he abandoned, he was in a stolen plane, he didn't really know how to fly that well, and he wasn't licensed. I think all of these things were worth mentioning, but they really liked to play up the romantic angle, and I think this really fed his narcissism and his ego.
We're talking with Kim Sheeter, who's the author of Air Minded, a novel about two mid-20th century aviation spectaculars, one good, the other not so much.
Kim, I'm interested in the process. I'm sure writing a book, you learned a lot just about going through that entire development. Do you have plans for something else?
I am considering doing a collection of aviation true crime stories because, wow, are there some doozies. And I'm not talking about the low-hanging fruit like D.B. Cooper. There are some
really
pretty astonishing stories, so we'll see.
Okay. That sounds kind of interesting. Yeah, so if you have, to our listeners, if you have an itch for true crime, and if you have an itch for the big, loudmouth, fast-moving days of aviation in the mid-20th century, this really could be kind of your recipe for several warm evenings by the fire, I'm thinking.
And I do want to balance it by saying there is also a hero's journey. Just as I write about Pletch as a destroyer, I do write about Riddle as a builder who was very evangelical about getting the systems and the infrastructure and the public support for aviation. So it isn't all darkness, but
both of these men's stories are big, though, right?
Yes, and somewhat unknown. Pletch's story kind of fell out of the headlines because he was able to get a plea deal, which is a whole story in itself, and he went off to Missouri State Penitentiary, where he never should have been released, but he was. So because there wasn't a trial with witnesses and evidence and courtroom theatrics, his story sort of slipped away. But the person that covered the murder story and did it very well was Walter Cronkite.
Interesting.
He was a 22-year-old cub reporter on the night desk, and he jumped on it. He knew, but this is 1939, this is October of 39. He knew in his future he wanted to be a war correspondent. So he really wanted to find ways to show his boss what he could do.
And
he
Kim Sheeter, thanks for joining us on Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio. The novel is Air Minded, available now where novels are available, like that great big company that sends rockets and sells books. There's that one.
There's that one.
You're listening to EAA Radio.